like on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a complete Christmas convert. And so we're going to talk a bit. Appreciated what we were singing this morning. Anybody got a throat sweet? We may or may not survive, but if you've got a throat sweet, you might want to send one in my direction, and then we might get through the message. I've got a bit of a cold. But we're going to talk a bit about Christmas. I'm going to try, and we're going to be thinking about the coming of the King. So that's what we're thinking about. I'd like you to know what I'm up to, and then you're not guessing. Cheers, Josh. And in doing that, we're going to be looking at prophets. There's going to be a lot of reading. Prophets, kings, the king, wise men, shepherds, angels, the whole lot. It's all in here. And we're going to be thinking a bit about this morning. And just enjoy doing that together. Enjoy thinking about Christmas. It is such a wonderful opportunity in our culture to celebrate the King. And we're embracing it. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's the one. Amen. Amen. We could get into this, couldn't we? Christmas. So we're going to read. We're going to start in Isaiah. And this is just going to be really like an initial bit of an overview. And we're going to get into the Gospels. And there's all sorts going on. But I just want to begin here in Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, obviously, Isaiah was a prophet. So he's prophesying. And he's prophesying hundreds of years before the coming of the King, of the Lord Jesus. And he's prophesying at a time when the people of God are not in a good way. They're not in a good place. They are under threat from their Assyrian enemies. They're an idolatrous, an unjust people, not trusting in the promises of God. And there's a great disparity of wealth in the nation. There's the really wealthy and there's the really poor. And the wealthy are treating the poor really badly. It was a mark of what was going on. Ring any bells? It's not much different, is it? No, it isn't. Excuse the pun, ring any bells. There was a great disparity of wealth. And the influence of the world on the people of God was having a really significant impact. And it was distracting them away from the appropriate worship and glory of God. And all sorts of other stuff was getting attention and praise, which shouldn't have been happening. And Isaiah is speaking within this time, within this culture, and he speaks at a time because of all of this, partly because of all of this, he's speaking at a time when the people of God are in need of great hope. Hope is a big word. It's little, but it's big. Hope is a big word. And the people of God were in need of hope. Hope. The people of God. Now, we are in need of hope, and he's come and he's brought it. But at this point, they're in need of hope and encouragement. And Isaiah is speaking at a time when this is particularly necessary. And even though for the people, because a consequence of sin, there will be judgment and exile in Babylon for those people, Isaiah brings a message of hope. So we've got to get this one. Hope. 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 And a future king. The king is coming. And part of what Isaiah does is he builds an anticipation of the coming of the king. He's doing it in prophecy. He's doing it. God is doing it through him deliberately, bringing a message of hope and a future king who will reign in peace and justice. And these people are going to need the anticipation of the coming of a Saviour. They're going to need that. They're going to go through hundreds of years of apparent silence on the part of God. No prophet speaks. And they're going to be in exile. And they're going to be used by other people. And they're going to need hope. And Isaiah speaks and he prophesies. And he prophesies into this context. And he prophesies hope. Hope in the expectation and anticipation of the coming of a Saviour. Of a king. Of a completely different world order. And he prophesies. We're going to read a few bits here. And just enjoy us reading this. And this is from Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read the first 7 verses. Then we're going to jump to chapter 11. And we're going to read the first 5 verses. So, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase with gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle of tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning and fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us. Future anticipation. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. On his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Eternal Father. Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God will do this. Future anticipation of the coming of the King and one who will reign and who will rule with peace and justice. Peace to all men. Justice. Chapter 11, first 5 verses. And we're just going to pick out some things from this. A shoot will spring from the root of Jesse. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And in these verses, Isaiah is speaking of the coming of the Messiah, who will rescue his people. There's lots of other passages in Isaiah that we can refer to in this way. I'm just drawing these ones out. And the Messiah who will come, and he will rescue his people. And he speaks a message of hope and begins to build a picture of the Savior. That's got to be good. He's beginning to build a picture and image of the one who will come, the one who will be born. It's wonderful. He begins to build a picture. And even down to the family. Did you notice that? The family that he will come from. He's saying the king will come, and the king is going to come through a particular family line, through a particular people. So when he comes, you'll know, because he's come through, he's been born in a particular family, and he's come from that particular family. And we read it in there, Jesse. He's come from the line of Jesse. That's a family. He's come, Jesse is the father of David, the king, and he's come through this family line. And so when the king comes, the anticipated one, the one that we're expecting and we're looking forward to, we know that he's going to come through this family line of Jesse, David, the king, and the king will come. He will come from the family of Jesse. He will come from the house of David. Hope is building. He's deliberately giving information for the expectation of the king. Deliberately, and it's wonderful. It's great. The Bible gives us these details. And this is hundreds of years, 700 years-ish before the time of the birth of Christ. Isaiah is speaking and he's prophesying these things. And hope is building, expectation is growing, anticipation of a glorious day which will keep them through really difficult times. We're just going to read another bit. This is in Micah. We're kind of rushing through this a little bit, but this is in Micah chapter 5, and we're going to read again the first 5 verses. He's speaking at a similar time to the same people. And God, through his prophets, is building a picture. Now let's just read down. Now muster yourselves in troops, the daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us with a rod. They will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But, as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, you little place, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from eternity past, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace when the Assyrian invades our lands, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. At the beginning of that little passage of scripture, we find this place, Bethlehem. It's just a little one. It's a little place of no great significance, it seems. And he highlights it for us here. He's already told us the king is coming and he's going to be like this when he comes. He's going to rule with justice and peace. This is what he's going to be like. And he's going to come through the line of the family of Jesse, of David the king. This is the family that he's going to come through. He's going to be born as a real man out of this family. Not only is he coming through this family line, but he's going to be born in this place, Bethlehem. Bethlehem. You wouldn't have guessed if he hadn't told you. Bethlehem. It's just a little place. It's just a little place of no great significance. Of no great significance. And yet, it had enormous significance. The king was coming. The king would be born. And he would be born of this family. And he would be born in this place. And all of the attention, I don't know if we're getting this or not, but try your best. All of the attention is looking forward with expectation of the coming of a king. And he's encouraging the people. And he's saying, look, look forward to the day when the king comes. Look out of your current context, which is difficult and oppressive, and people have gone away from God. Look out and look forward and see that the day will come when a king, the king, will rise up and he will come from this family and he will come in this place. And when you see this, you'll know the king has come. The king has come. There's so much, and we can't get into it all, but there's so much prophesied about the coming of the king hundreds of years before he ever comes. Why? Part of the reason for this people was that they would have this hope and this anticipation and this expectation. We're going to hold on. The king is coming. The king, the deliverer of Israel, he is coming. From a family, at a time, in a place, the great emancipation of humanity. The king, he's coming. He's coming. We can have this. In a different way, this is true for us. We look forward. The king, he's coming. He's coming back. And for these guys looking forward, the king, of justice and peace and mercy and grace. He's coming. He's coming. In the times that they would have gone through from the time of this prophecy, this must have been such great encouragement. They would have known this. The prophets prophesied. The teachers taught. The scribes. They looked into this stuff. They knew it was part of their culture. We're looking forward to the day when the king comes. And all of this focus is looking specifically for a family, for a place in time. And the king will be born. The king will be born. That man alive, that's going to be helpful. That's going to help you to hold on. Isn't it? Or it is. Now it is. It is. I, in this way, I'm looking for the coming of the King. Oh, Jesus, come. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Wonderful. And they're looking forward. And he's telling us where he's coming from. And it's wonderful. We will know when the King comes. It will be obvious. He's identified. Where he's coming, an expectation and a hope has been given to the people. Oh, that's the job of a prophet. An expectation and a hope
has been given to the people, and they're living in the light of what they see looking forward. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Right, we're jumping now. We're going to Luke. Luke, keep coming. Luke. Luke chapter 2. And then we'll put these two things together in a minute, but we're just going to jump into Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read now 20 verses of scripture. I'm prepping you. 20 verses. Enjoy it. Read it if you can. And, let's just read down. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. There's the family, and there's the place. And they were going there in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. That was a moment. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I'm with them in that. I reckon you would be terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, look, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, time and place, today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. He's the one. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Just as it had been told them. Wonderful. The long anticipated day had come. It's like all of this expectation to a moment. Here's the moment. Here's the moment. You would think, would you not? The people of God, they're living in expectation of the coming of the King. And here it is. The King has come. The King has come. And he's come in this way, in this moment. The King is born. And as you might expect for the Son of God, an angel, an angelic proclamation is given. That seems right and proper, doesn't it? The Son of God has come in time and place, and angels are there. And they proclaim his coming. And then they glorify hosts of angels. Can you get, I mean, you can't really, but have a go. Get the picture. Get the picture. On a hillside, outside Bethlehem, here's this ragamuffin band of shepherds. And can you believe it? The angelic proclamation of the Messiah from these angelic hosts comes to this raggle-taggle bunch of smelly shepherds. You wouldn't have planned it, would you? I wouldn't have planned it. Not like this. This is incredible. What is going on? It comes to these, the angel's proclamation comes to these shepherds. You would, I think, at this moment, you've got to do a double take as you look at the history and you think, are you sure? Angels? This is like the biggest moment in history for this people. And they've been, they're waiting. The King has come. The angels come to proclaim his coming. And here's this little bunch of shepherds. What's going on? This is incredible. This is incredible. We've got to get this. For hundreds of years, the people have been waiting the coming of the King. And when the great day arrives, a ragamuffin bunch of shepherds on a lonely hillside outside an insignificant little town get a private audience with the host of heaven. And so the birth of the King is announced. Can you believe it? We get too used to this story, don't we? I think we do. Get your head round it. You can't. This is incredible. Why didn't these angels be sent to the great religious leaders of the day? You'd think that was the obvious thing in some palace or something. You would expect that. People did expect that. God did not work in that way. Love it. Love it. There's meaning here. Love it. This is wonderful. Wonderful. God did not work in this way. Even in this moment, the news of the King is made known to the humble, to the outcast, and to the unclean, the shepherd. The shepherds. The shepherds were a smelly bunch in those days. And ceremonially, they would have been unclean. They're dealing with animals and so much of went on there. They were unclean. They were at a distance in physically in this moment. Shepherds. Humble, lowly, smelly shepherds. And they were. And God spoke through the angels the proclamation of his Son to the humble and to the lonely, the lowly in society. Do you know he's still doing that? He is. Do you get this? He hasn't changed and he still comes in this way. And he comes to the humble. This is good news, guys. Come on. This is good news. I need this. You need this. He comes to the lowly. He comes to the humble. And in this moment, he does this. The response of the shepherds, I love it. This is a humble response. There's an immediacy of response. The hungry do this. The humble do this. The lowly do this. Watch the response of the shepherds. This little bunch of blokes I love this. The response of the shepherds, it says, they have a little chat together and then they're off in a hurry. They're off in a hurry. Come on, boys. Let's go and find this out. Let's go and see what we've just heard, what we've just been told of this coming Messiah. Let's go to him. Let's go to him. Let's go now. Do you know the humble and the lowly in heart so easily respond in this way? It's they've heard, they've received, they're off in a moment. And it says in the Bible, they were in a hurry. We've got to get here. We've got to get to him. We've got to move out to the king in this moment. And they hurry. And they hurry to the place of his birth. Their overall response was one of faith. And then we find here those shepherds. They glorified and praised God. They went, they saw, and they were filled with praise and glory as they went on their way. This is the response of the shepherds. It's wonderful. Take example from it if you can. Take example from it. This is the response of the humble. And it's wonderful. We're going to jump now. We're going to bring all this together. We're jumping to Matthew. And we're going to read down again. And we're just going to connect these things together. This is Matthew and chapter 2. And we're going to read this from the beginning. Here's some different fellas. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he? Where is he? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they knew the answer because they'd been told 700 years ago. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet." And we read this before. "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Have you done that recently? They rejoiced. What does this look like? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a response. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshipped. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So first, we had the shepherds. And now we've got these mysterious characters, these magi, these foreigners, these people. We don't know too many details, really, biblically, about them. We've kind of embellished it a bit with tradition and all sorts of things. We don't know too much. But these guys, they'd come from a long way. They'd come from the east. They were strangers and foreigners. You can see where I'm going, can't you? They were strangers and foreigners. They had come from the east. They'd come from a long way. And they'd come, they'd seen a star. This is incredible. Try and get this. They'd seen a star and studying out somehow what they perceived to be the meaning of this, they had left their homeland and they'd followed a star. They'd followed a star. This is unbelievable. And they'd followed it for miles and miles and miles. These guys were not humble shepherds. These guys were wealthy academics. These guys were wealthy academics. They were experts. It's great to have an expert, isn't it? These guys were experts in astronomy and astrology and natural science, and they would have studied out the heavenly phenomenon that they'd discovered in the sky. And they had come from the east, and they'd come, and with them, they had brought with them gifts of great value suitable for a king. They were not unsure about the destination of their journey. They had seen the sign, and they had come from a distance, and they had come to a king who had been born, and they'd come bearing gifts. We don't know how many of these fellows there were. We think there was three, but there was three gifts, types of gifts. We don't really know how many wise men they were, but they'd come from a long way. They had seen the divinely appointed star, the divinely appointed star in the east, a foreign land, a long way from the newborn king, but they'd come seeking him. They undertook a great journey just so they could come and fall down and worship him. We saw the response of the shepherds. This is the response of these highly trained, academic, wealthy, intelligent people. And they gathered together to the king. And this, in my view, is what gave these guys wisdom. They fell down and they worshipped the king. That was wisdom. That was the response. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So they came, and it's wonderful to see that those who welcomed the Son of God into the world were not the religious leaders of the day, but the humble and the far off. Can you see this is true? This is a picture, but it's helpful, and it's true, and it's consistent with the coming of the King. Those who gathered to him, those who welcomed him, they were the humble and they were the far off. They were the strangers and the foreigners, and they came. And the shepherds, they came in a hurry, and they came to the king. The king had come, and things have not changed, and still the king of kings, the king of all kings, continues to reveal himself, to make himself known to the humble and the far off, the destitute and the foreigner, he calls to himself. Can you see this is the Christmas story? We get so used to it, but this is right there. in the moment of his coming. And he's received, and he's made known, and he's proclaimed by the humble and the far off. And the shepherds, we read in the story of the shepherds, and the shepherds, they received the proclamation from the angels. They basically went and checked it out. They were full of worship to God, and they went around and they told everybody. These were, if you like, these were like the first evangelists, if I can say that. They'd seen the birth, or that he had been born, this king. And they went and they spread the news. And people couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe what they were hearing from these shepherds. Really? From shepherds? This is the Messiah. And the word begins to disseminate to the people from this humble story. Shepherds go out and they tell the people. God continues to work in this way. Have you noticed? He has. And from the shepherds to these wise men from the east. If you like, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. And we all find ourselves somewhere in between, don't we? These humble peasant shepherds and these wealthy academic wise men. I don't know where you fit, but somewhere between all of that, we all find ourselves. And these guys, they welcomed in the coming of the king. And it's wonderful, and things haven't changed, and we need to finish. I want to encourage us, really, in the light of this, and at this time, this wonderful time of Christmas, we gather, in a sense, in this symbolic way, in a sense, we gather with those people to the manger. We look back to this moment, this coming of the king, we look back. Those other guys we were talking about before, they looked forward to his coming. We're looking back at Christmas time, and we gather. And we gather with the humble, and we gather with the stranger and the foreigner. We gather with everybody in between, but we gather to the manger in this sense. And as we gather at this time, is a thing just to keep in our focus, to keep in our remembrance. As we're doing that and we're enjoying Christmas time, the response of the wise. Look at the response of the wise. The wise, they fell down and worshipped him. That's it. That's the punchline. This Christmas time, in amongst all of the joy of what's going on, and the deliberate focus of a festive season, us, let's do this. Let's gather and worship. Let's gather and worship. There's all sorts of distractions going on. That's all right. But let's gather to the King who has come, and let's gather to worship him. Carol service next week. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're gathering together to the King. And may those moments be full of our praise and of our worship and of our adoration. Here's the thing. The King has come. The King has come. He's come. And it's like the angelic hosts. Yes! The King has come, and we gather and we fall down and we worship him. Wonderful. That's Christmas for you. That's Christmas. That's what I love about Christmas. This deliberate moment. We gather to the coming of the King and we worship. We worship him. It's wonderful. I'm going to finish, but I'm going to read this to us. This is taken from a song. We don't really know it, but listen to this. We come and we gather to worship. Jesus is King. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Give him the glory and honor his name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens, word of the Father exalted for us. It's wonderful. Jesus, oh, we could boom this. Jesus, this is it. This is the message. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Amen. Amen.